with a babe inside, and I wonder what I've done. Holy Father, you have come and chosen me now to carry your son. I am waiting in a silent prayer. I am frightened by the love.
Happy Sabbath. Are we on? You know, in John 1, verse 46, Philip is talking to Nathanael, telling him about the Messiah. And Nathanael says, does any good thing come out of Nazareth? Let's pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, I pray that you will use me today to bring forth your word. May it all come from your throne and from your lips. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. How many people watched news this week? Anybody watch the news this week? Did anybody see what happened to a little girl in a room from Ring Video? Did you see that? Her system was hacked. And he said he was Santa Claus and he was scaring her. And so not everyone saw that? And then they hacked another home where he was actually giving racial slurs to the family in that home. Well, could you imagine being a girl 15 to 16 years old? This was a little girl in this house this week. But could you imagine being 15 or 16 years old? Try a little bit longer. If it keeps acting up, I'll get the other. Yeah, I think I'm going to change. Turn on the mic. But anyway, could you imagine being 15 or 16 years old? And how many people know how many angels are named in the Bible? How many, Bruce? Three. Micah, Lucifer, and who's the third one? Gabriel. Three angels named in the Bible. And one of these angels visits this home. Would that not just, like, terrify you? I think I would be a little bit taken back by that. And let's see what he says. If you want to follow along in your Bibles, because I am in Luke chapter 1, verses 26 through 30. Or actually a little bit further. Luke chapter 1, verse 26. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent an angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph. To a man named a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you are highly favored. The Lord is with you." So again, we're in a town called Nazareth, which is not a very famous town. What did Nathanael say about it later? Has any good thing come from Nazareth? So that tells you what they think about that little town in that area. And then what does the angel say? Now, you got to understand, too, she was pledged to be married. Pledged to be married. And in the Jewish tradition, she was a younger girl, 15, 16, they're guessing around that age. And then this angel comes to you and tells you what's getting ready to happen. Says, "Greetings, you are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at these words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor in God." I wonder if that really made her not afraid. Or I wonder if she was still afraid, but willing to listen. This is the angel of God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will call him Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of God, the Most High. The Lord will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever, and the kingdom will never end. "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." And you know the rest of the story where it says the Holy Spirit will come over you, and you will conceive. So now she's got to tell Joseph this, right? And then Joseph has issue with this, doesn't he, Dave? Kind of like you had issue with your jacket.
Probably not. Probably not. But anyway, Joseph, it says in his thoughts that he was going to quietly divorce her. And then who came to Joseph? An angel. An angel came to Joseph and said, "Joseph, do not be afraid. Take her, because she is of the Holy, she's being conceived with the Holy Spirit." So Joseph does take her. But I'm going to ask you right now, on both of their behalfs, does it not seem like God is taking advantage of them? Does it seem like that to some of you? I mean, she's 15, 16 years old. She didn't pray for God to do this. Joseph didn't pray for God to bring this upon them. But God said she was highly favored. Why would she have been highly favored? Why would she have been highly favored, Dave? Yeah, but I understand that part, but why did God show favor upon her? You think it was her character? Do you think if we chose a person today to give birth to, if we went an Olympian, we would probably try to find the woman who's in the best shape? She runs, hikes, jogs, she does all that. And then the man would be about the same way, because we want that bloodline to be strong. But that bloodline wasn't going to be of Mary, was it? That bloodline was of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And I thought about that. I said, and then Mary and Joseph had to travel for that long period of time. It was 90 miles. I don't know how long it takes on a donkey. Does anybody know how long it takes on a donkey to go 90 miles? I would think it takes 4 or 5 days. And she said, it just seems like one burden after another in this story. And then they don't have a place to stay. And then they come and have a baby in the manger. And I wish I had the other mic, because I really want to use my other hand. But how many people in here enjoy Christmas? I don't enjoy it as much as I used to, because I was like the Tasmanian around our house looking for my gifts when I was a little kid. And almost every Christmas, I knew almost every gift I was going to have, and usually was very excited about it. I mean, I tore that house up. I even found myself at times looking underneath the house to see if anything was hidden under there. And thank goodness there wasn't, because underneath the house was a little bit scary. But you know what I found out? Even though I knew what my gift was, and then Christmas Day came and I played with my gift, usually after a couple hours, I was outside playing baseball with my brothers or doing something else totally, and the gift is still sitting there. See, the gift, and Dave, you know, I was thinking about gifts. You're hard to buy for, so I think I'll buy you a Hallmark movie. That sounds good. It says you love Hallmark movies. But what I'm trying to say is, the gift is enjoyable for a time, but then we get tired of it. But as a mother or father, when you give that kid that gift and that smile and you see the enjoyment they have, you enjoy that for a long time, do you not? And I really can't wait to see my granddaughters, how they act when they get their gifts. I mean, they just bring a lot of light to us. I remember one day Yvette had a video of her one little granddaughter. She comes up to her mom and she puts her hand on her hip and goes, "Hey, girl, hey." Stuff like that just makes you enjoy them that much more. So Jesus interrupts this girl's life and this man's life. He takes them on this journey. And then he brings them to this stable. And then they're brought gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And I don't know how much that increased their wealth that night, because the Bible doesn't really go that maintained them for the next 30 years of raising Jesus. The Bible doesn't say that. But they were very poor, because when they had Jesus Christ circumcised, usually you sacrifice a lamb at that, but they only had two pigeons or two doves. So they were a very poor family. But yet they had already been given the frankincense, gold, and myrrh. So that part I need a little more theology teaching on that part, because I thought they would have been able at least buy a lamb from that. But anyway, that's not part of the story today. The story today is they were given a commission. They never halted one second. They did everything God asked. They followed his word, and they took on his task. Jesus Christ gives us a commission each and every day. And we might think it's to get a better job. It's to do something different. It's to do this. What was the one thing that Mary and Joseph had to do? They had to believe, didn't they? They had to believe. Because Mary says, basically, I am your servant. They had to believe and trust in Jesus. And that's something sometimes we might struggle with. There was this hiker who has gone on many journeys before. And he was hiking across this desert. Well, it's kind of like out in California where you kind of got desert and mountains and a little bit of everything. But he thought he had enough water. And he looked down at his water and he had no more. And he knew if he went back the other way, because he had been hiking a few days, he knew if he went backwards, there was no water until he got all the way back. He said, well, that's not good. That's 3, 4, 5 days. So he's going to continue to hike forward, hoping to find water. And then off in the distance, he sees this rundown shack. And he walks up to the shack. And out just past the shack, there's this old pump. And he's thinking, there's no way there's water in that old pump. But he sees a tin can hanging on a string at the pump, and he walks out there to it, and in the tin can is a little note. And it says, this pump has never ran dry. It's got water. And it says, I buried a jar over underneath the rock, and it's got one glass of water. And it says, if you take that glass of water and pour half of it in first, the rubber seal inside first needs to get moist. And then after, and let it set for a second, then pour the rest in and start pumping, you'll get water. Now let me ask you something. Would you believe that that pump will work? Or would you drink the water and try to go further to find more? What would you do? This person believed what the note said. He poured half the bottle in, waited a second, poured the rest, and started pumping water. And the water came out just like the note said. And the note also said, when you're done, please fill the bottle for the next traveler and put it back underneath the rock and put the note back. And that traveler did that. You know what it makes me realize? The one thing that Jesus Christ's birth was about us following that commission to help someone else. I had a lot of gifts, and I enjoyed them all. And my best gifts of all are family. My son and daughter, my wife, my mom has passed away, my father has passed away, but family is the greatest gift of all. But as a young man, I struggled with a lot of things. Had a lot of anger. And then one day I learned about this guy named Jesus. It was the greatest gift of all. Because he had already found me. But now I have found him. When you find Jesus Christ, and sometimes you might be in a manger, down at the lowest point in your life. But that's what Jesus is saying. You can't go too low that he can't find you. You can't go too far, he won't search for you. And you can't too much, he can't forgive you. So the one thing I want you to do this Christmas, with all the gifts and with all the family, don't forget Jesus Christ. And fill that cup up so that somebody else will have water behind you. I'm going to invite our praise team to come back up.
Let's stand together.
Over the skies of Bethlehem appeared a star, while angels sang to lowly shepherds.
This young man was walking by a church one night, and they were having the nativity program going on. And he wasn't a member of any church. He didn't have that much money. He was actually homeless. He had a shirt on his back, a pair of shorts, and he noticed on the flyer that they were going to have church the next day. So the church was filled. The pews were totally filled from one edge to the other edge. And when he walked in, he looked over there. He looked to the left, and he looked to the right, and there was no place to sit. So this young man with a shirt and a pair of shorts and no shoes walked right down the center, came right before the pastor and sat right on the floor. And then this old man from the very back saw that young man sitting up there by himself, could hardly walk, got up out of his seat, walked down there, threw his cane to the side, and sat right down by that young man so he wouldn't be there by himself. That's what Jesus Christ does for us. He comes to sit down right beside us so that we're not by ourselves. So this Christmas season, remember the greatest gift of all. And even though he wasn't born on Christmas Day like we show, don't forget Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you from coming from your throne to a manger in Bethlehem. I can only imagine how bright that star shined that night and how the shepherds felt when the angels sang. And Lord, I pray each and every one of us here today will do all things through Jesus Christ who gives us strength. Lord, bless us as we go throughout this day and throughout this week. And may we put water back in that jar for someone else. May we get out of our seat, walk down to the front, and sit by that person who's all by themselves. Because you do that for us each and every day. Again, we thank you for being our Lord and Savior, our very best friend. And we thank you for forgiving us of all our sins so that we can come to you boldly because you are our friend. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Go with God's blessings and have a great week.